Welcome to the Mind Money Spectrum podcast, where your hosts, Aaron Ogti and Trishul Patel, go beyond traditional finance questions to help you explore how to use your money to achieve the freedom you want in life.
Hi, my name is Aaron Ogti. I'm a financial advisor in the Bay Area, and I'm here with Trishul Patel, a wealth manager on the East Coast.
Hey, Aaron, great to be here today. And thanks, everybody, for listening and watching.
Great to be here as well as we continue to explore our new video podcast series. So today, as we think about the end of the year, Trish and I were trying to figure out what do we want to talk about. Like, what's a good year-end thing for this episode? Because we've done, is it two or three year-end episodes now? We've done 2019, 2020, and 2021 now. So it's like the normal financial planning stuff, check your IRA, 401k contributions, like exercising options before the end of the year. Like, we've done that already. And we'll eventually, you can find the audio podcast. We'll eventually get it up on YouTube at some point. But that felt like it was just a repeat of the exact same things. So this year, we want to just try and figure out something else that is different. And one of the things that's been on my mind is knowing when my kids get off school. It's like a Monday before Christmas. So I think it's December 19th is that Monday. So their last day is the Friday beforehand. They have, I think, 3 weeks off. And a big reason why I started my own business was to be able to spend time with kids when they're not in school. During the summer, they usually do some kind of camp, so I still have work hours. But in the past, they have this good extended stretch, and I try and block this off. But if I do have work I need to get done, and my wife also still has work to get done, too often they end up watching things on TV or on iPads. And as I'm getting ready for this time coming up, the thing that's just in the back of my mind is just like trying to limit their screen time. Just like I don't have like specifics, I don't like how much is too much kind of thing, but just this general concept of just a little bit less. And that implies that yes, I could just flat out no screen time, go outside. But with the three of them, it just gets chaotic, and that works for a short amount of time, but not a long amount of time. So I'd like to try to be able to do some things with them in this time off. It doesn't have to be a vacation. We usually like to go skiing, so we do have a ski trip planned towards the end of their break. But we probably have about something like 10 weekdays, Monday through Friday, not including holidays, that they're off, that I'd like to try to fill with some things to do. So Trish and I are going to discuss kind of some of the things that we think that we'll be doing during that time off. That it's like, doesn't have to be a big thing, but what are some of those like things that we're going to use to fill the downtime during holiday season? And so, again, during winter breaks, kind of winter sports is one of those more common ones, and that's definitely part of our schedule. But we'll get into like other things that I'm thinking about. So Trishul, is there something that you have consistently done with kids or family during winter breaks? I guess for you, like, they're not in school yet, so it's not like a specific prescribed winter break. I guess unless the daycare, preschool, I guess they could also have a winter break. They like the teachers need some time off as well. So one, what is your like schedule that you're thinking about? And two, what are some things that you have done consistently in the past?
Right. Yeah. So breaks have been a big part of the equation. And really it started with, you know, the whole sabbatical that I took when my daughter was born. That was just a big long break for about a year. My wife and I took off from our careers to just kind of hang out with our newborn daughter. And that actually involved a lot of free time, basically, to fill with a small child. And we had to come up with a routine that we could kind of replicate, right? Keep it going. Mm-hmm. And what that meant is we came up with a strategy for, you know, quote, normal days, right?
Yeah.
That had some structure in it. But again, when you have a newborn, screen time really isn't even an option. So you got to come up with something. And we definitely underestimated the amount of effort it takes to keep a newborn occupied. So I think we kind of did the math. It felt like two full-time jobs, like figuring out the whole schedule. Because you basically have a child that sleeps in spurts, right? And mm-hmm. essentially what that might mean is something's going on with a child from sun up till way past sundown in terms of, you know, occupying their time and then slowly trying to build in some sort of consistency into their lives. So what we ended up coming up with is, you know, a schedule where we had two big activities a day. In the morning, we do something, and then in the evening, we do something. And what we really found out is my daughter, actually, whenever we went outdoors, she would get really calm and things would go a lot more smooth. She just liked being outside. Mm-hmm. So we had a daily hike that we would do in the evening. So that was our evening activity.
And then before we get to that, I want to thank you for putting to words the concept of what I had in mind. It's the reason I wanted to have this discussion is it's very similar to someone who is pursuing FIRE or has actually achieved financial independence and they want to retire. It's like when you have all of this unstructured time off, you can do whatever you want. How do you actually decide what to do to fill your time with some structure?
Yeah.
And so the way you phrase it, like, that's exactly why I want to have this conversation, because it's not just for parents during those 3 weeks, but the ideas of how we're thinking about filling this time is applicable to many, many other people throughout at different times of their lives for different reasons.
Sure. Yeah. You can kind of see the evolution of where that began a couple of years ago. This is like 2018, right? Into where we've evolved today. And it was a blank slate at that point, meaning the big notion was, okay, we have all of this free time. If we can do anything we want with our lives, how do we want to fill our lives from here on out?
Yep.
And again, you can kind of listen to the podcast for more of the backstory of how we ended up where we are. But initially, yeah, the notion was, okay, what are we going to do to occupy a newborn? And still, you know, also get some enjoyment for ourselves, provide some structure for the kid and for us. And, you know, also, again, it's kind of like a blank slate. What do we want to do that we were waiting to do or wanting to do and things like that? But yeah, what it turned into is basically, you know, newborns do nap a lot. And we came up with a plan that involved two activities in air quotes per day. And one of them was, yeah, hiking and seeing trails and doing something outside that's nature oriented. And we kind of discovered that all around us, kind of hidden throughout the municipality, were these hiking trails. And it's something that's probably true. We've noticed everywhere since then that we've moved to, where if you don't really look, you won't see them. But if you do poke around a bit, you'll realize there are these trails, maybe just a quarter mile off a highway or off a side road that wind through. And once you get in there, it really feels like you're immersed in a completely different environment. And you won't see a car, you may not even see any people, but it'll be quite kind of refreshing to be out there. And we noticed, again, for the young kid, that was great. She loved it for our daily routine.
Super quick plug. In the past, I've used the app All Trails, which has done a really good job of finding trails, like not only around here, but like if we're in Tahoe, it can tell me where trails are, tell you where the trailheads are, how long it is, how kind of degree of difficulty. Because like the degree of difficulty matters quite a bit between what I can do and what my six-year-old can do. So that's one super quick plug. I'll try and remember to put that in the comments. But I want to go back and share some of my evolution. And I guess it's kind of preparing you a little bit, but it's also kind of like sharing the path as a parent a little bit. Before we had kids, my wife and I had a really good, like, 2 to 3 hour walk every night. We had a dog. Dog needed to get a walk. We were both working. So we get home from work. We would go for a walk. We'd usually pick up some food and kind of eat dinner while walking kind of thing. A lot of times it was Starbucks because I was just on the path and we both liked the food there. But this did, one, kind of like had that structure, had that routine of how we're spending our time off. It was really important for the dog. But also it became a safe space for our communication as a young married couple. And so this actually, we look back and realize that was really the foundation of our relationship with those long walks. And it allowed us to figure out how to talk to each other without getting defensive, how to be able to express, here are some of the things that I'm concerned about, worried about, but actually in a constructive way. And when our first daughter was born, we started taking her on these walks also. She was a newborn, so she would go in the stroller, which makes sure she was warm enough, but she'd be in the stroller while we did this, but did the same walks. Once we had two kids, it wasn't so much we couldn't do the walks, but the oldest was now about 2 or 3 and needed like a more of a dinner time routine, more of a bedtime routine. They couldn't handle the walk, but we didn't want to just sit, like, didn't want to sit in a stroller that long. And so we kind of lost that consistency as our oldest got to, again, I think it was about 3. It's a combination of 2 kids and the age of the older one. We've looked for things to try and get back to something like that, but right now my kids are 11, 9, and 6. And actually our biggest challenge has been each of them have their own individual activities. I've talked many times how I love coaching my kids' sports teams. And a lot of times I'm coaching one of them, but because they're different ages, they can't coach all 3 at the same time. And so if I'm coaching one, the other might have another either homework or other evening activity, other practices. And so we have lost that regularly structured evening walk. We try and do it probably about once a week when we walk the dog. But that's a challenge that my wife and I are going through right now that we haven't quite figured out. We had this really good routine, and I guess due to our kids getting older and having individual activities and interests, we have lost a little bit. So I'm open to ideas. I'm kind of sharing the problem. I don't have any solutions there, but that reminds, like, when we had kids the same age, we also had that really good, consistent evening walk. I wouldn't call it a hike because we were in a very flat area, but we lost that at some point. I do miss that. And so I have nothing there. So I'll let you go from here. But like, I just wanted to share that, like, evolution of being a parent kind of thing.
Yeah, I think we're probably on a similar trajectory. But again, I think the added complication of having multiple children is going to be a differentiator. So far, we're still kind of just thinking about keeping one child busy, which I'm sure is a different situation. But it has evolved. So yeah, but back then it was basically you got a morning activity, and that was basically something indoors, meaning, okay, you have a little toddler. What are we going to do? We're going to play with blocks, or we're going to, you know, play with some letters or play around with the cats or something indoors. And then we ended up cooking most of our meals. So, you know, we would plan a lunch, we would plan a dinner, and then our evening activity was, as we mentioned, it would be hiking every day. And we found that was something that was kind of repeatable. It's not too stressful, not too underwhelming either, but enough to kind of keep the ball moving forward. So that was like the base strategy that we followed. And then we filled it in with, you know, vacations, small trips, bigger trips, and things like that. And it did end up occupying a good year following this type of notion.
Okay. So It sounds like you're speaking about in the past tense. I'm like, did that change at some point? Was it the move?
Well, so it evolved. I think, one thing when I first took the sabbatical, I mentioned this in a past episode. I got some good advice from an associate of mine who happens to be like a recruiter. And he said, and he was right. He said, based upon what I'm hearing, it really seems like you're burnt out. And I was at the time. I really wasn't interested in doing anything. And I didn't have any plans for anything. And he was one of the first people who said, well, that's okay. That's great. Don't do anything. Don't even think about getting a job or work or, getting back into the career. Just take this time and enjoy it. And that's really what I did. And maybe 6 or 9 months in, I just started thinking, okay, I probably want something else to do, beyond, this current strategy. And that's when I started the financial blog to just kind of keep busy that way. The notion there was I had all of these different things that I've done in my own personal life. And I thought, why not share it? And that's what rolled into this business. But that there's been many evolutions along the way of where we were back then to where we are now. But again, the goal was to, plan this ideal life so that we're living our best life day to day, following a strategy where we have enough consistency and structure so that we're not kind of all over the place, but enough flexibility for that we can, take these small, medium, and big trips as we feel is sensible. And then, of course, the other evolution going on in the background is a newborn is, growing into now a 5-year-old, which, again, allows for different opportunities for stepping outside of, the basic pattern we laid out 5 years ago.
Okay. So kind of getting back to our original premise, right. Is there something that you are planning on doing? I guess, does the 5-year-old have like a break from preschool, or is it just like, are you taking a couple weeks off? Do you have something planned for the end of the year that you do not really do other times?
Yeah, so it's hard to say that we have some sort of structure or routine because we're 5 years into, this child rearing experiment, and each year has been wildly different. Of course, you throw in a few COVID years and you don't really have a good sample to draw upon for consistency. But we do have a few weeks off, and I guess it's going to turn into a similar situation on if it's like a normal off day, we have this normal off day pattern that we follow where it's similar to what it was 5 years ago. You have a morning activity, you have your, lunch where we'll do cooking. And then you have your evening activity and you have your dinner, cooking, and wind down. So that's your basic, 4 big things to hit for a, like a non-vacation day. Mm-hmm. But, the repertoire of activities has grown. If we're at home, there's many different stations that we have around the house for our kid where she can, go to the Lego area or the music area or the exercise area or painting or whatever it happens to be. So that ends up occupying the mornings. And then if we're picking like an evening activity, we've expanded beyond the trails, or we can do more with the trails. Mm. We're a big fan of the All Trails things as well. I love that app because wherever you are, you can just click a button and you can say, hey, there's a trail, 500 feet that way or a mile that way. And of course, if you get lost, it's even better because it tells you where you are on the trail. So you don't have to worry as much about getting lost. But in addition to that, we started another side activity that's similar. Have you heard of geocaching?
Yes, but I'm not going to be able to speak to it. I've heard the word, but I don't. Go, why don't you explain it?
So this was something my wife and I used to do when we were going around Southeast Asia. And the notion is you have this kind of global scavenger / treasure hunt that's going on where people have hidden these things in public places all around the planet. It's probably like tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of different things that have been hidden. And then before there was an app, there used to be a website that gave you clues to, you know, where to go and what you might find, but not the full details. So it's still more of, you know, it's not fully laid out. It might be, you know, go to this dock and search around the pier and look under a rock and you might find something. And you can literally go there and you can find it. And sometimes that might be like a notebook and you can leave something, but now you can, you know, tag it on your app and whatnot. So yeah, I started doing that with my daughter. And it's interesting because the last one we went, there was literally a treasure box in the middle of a trail, you know, that looked like a chest. And like, you know, my daughter had fun opening it up and seeing all the things that people had left. And then the notion for this specific one is, yeah, you can leave a little toy of your own, right? And you can sign the logbook and things like that. So it's a good outdoor activity that you can kind of pick up on a whim wherever you happen to be.
That's pretty cool. So is that one of the things you could try and do over the next few weeks?
I think so, yeah. So you know, that's part of the rotation. Another thing is we have our standard beach, park, and pool, right? So we know, of course, all the playgrounds in the area, and we can keep that on the rotation. And we got the pool where, you know, you can spend some time there. And then you got the beach, which is also, you know, being in Florida, even last year in December, the water was warm. So I think we're kind of covered there.
That is one thing that we like when you say the evening hike, I'm thinking like, well, I'm in the Bay Area and it gets down to the 50s at night. Like first thing in the morning, it'll be in the 40s, sometimes in the 30s. And like, I know Southern California might be pretty nice and Florida might be pretty nice, but a lot of the other country, it's hard to go out in the evening for a hike when it's so cold. Is your
you
daughter hiking
swap
when it's
your
dark
evening? Yeah. Like when we were in PA, basically it was the evening activity that ended up being at home and the afternoon activity that was outdoors. But even I understand what you're saying. It's tough to be out. Yeah.
So as I mentioned, I really enjoy coaching my three kids' sports teams. And this year, I did notice that the practice that I would do with kids individually, because I really enjoy it. I'm trying to like just get them out to play catch, that kind of thing, whether it's football, softball, baseball, something like that, like or like helping them hit. Like I enjoy that one-on-one skill building with my kids. But I kind of lost that this year. As I was having more team practices and they had other things going on. And since their fall seasons have ended, I've been trying to just go out in the driveway and play catch a little bit more with each of them individually. I think one of the things I am planning on doing, kind of, again, just get them out of the house, get them off screens, is we'll walk to a local park. It has both a dirt field that we teams practice at for baseball, softball. It also has a playground right next to it, and kind of taking turns with each one of the kids of working on something, either hitting, fielding, catching, throwing, something like that. But I have a wagon designed to hold sports equipment. I'm kind of loading that up, going to the park, letting them bring snacks and water bottles, and just kind of hanging out there for a few hours, but trying to take turns and rotate like one-on-one time while the other two can either participate if they want to, or they can go to the playground at the park because it's a big enough space. And that idea, like, you know where all the parks are, know all the playgrounds are, like that's been a challenge for my wife and I. Like we half joke, and I'm sure a lot of parents with multiple kids would like agree, anytime we're spending time with one kid individually, it is sweet, adorable, nice. They get along, they can talk to us. We absolutely genuinely love it. If it's all three of them together, it's chaotic. They're terrors, they're hurting each other, they're annoying each other, there's loud screaming, and it just really, really angers us. And so it's we look for things that we can do one-on-one. But then, like, what are the other two doing at that time? And if one of us is working, then they're probably on iPads, or if the other is not working, it still is like a 2-in-1 kind of thing. But it also means that my wife and I don't get to spend time with each other. Whereas, so if we want to spend time with each other as a family, it's all five of us. It's like 50-50, but it's not either or. It's both like mixed in of like chaos, joy, chaos, joy, chaos, joy, like every 5 minutes.
Oh boy.
And it's, that's, again, no ideas, no solutions, but like the first thing that came to mind, like what I'm gonna do with time off, was like trying to help them get better. And that almost doesn't matter what. Like, I've been teaching them chess. We've been doing Wordle and Spelling Bee. And like, I almost don't care what they're working on to get better. Mm-hmm. But I also combine that with getting them outside away from screens. Mm-hmm. So, we have a chess board. I've taught them chess, but my youngest especially, he enjoys using the chess.com app. So he and I can play. Like, he gets to play on his iPad, I play on my phone, and we can play against each other. He can also use the, they call it an analysis tool, of like simulating moves for both people. So you don't have to like mm-hmm. plan it out in your head. You can play it out before you actually plan what you're going to do. So he likes playing around with that. But again, it's one of those like, okay, I like that you're learning chess and like that you're trying new things, but it's like more screen time. Like, I don't know if I like that. There have been times where I'd rather they played video games than watched shows on Disney Plus or Netflix because it's more interactive and not passive. But if it's the three of them playing together, because there are some really good games where they're all kind of on the same side working towards something, eventually they're arguing with each other, like, no, come on, do this. No, I want to do this. Like, or they are playing against each other, and then now there's more arguing. Or it's a one-player game, and they have to take turns. But it's... I'm just kind of like... I don't know if I'm venting or sharing, but like, these are the things I think about when time off is coming up. For most right. of the year, for weekends, there's always some activities. We kind of all plan around that. But this break, we don't have skiing or snowboarding until January, so we have these unstructured time. And if I don't plan something, it'll either be zombie screen time or chaos.
So I did come across a few things related to screen time which did change my mindset a bit. I was under the impression, for example, when my daughter was a newborn, I just thought, okay, zero screen time. Or I tried to keep it down to, you know, minimal. I think, you know, the recommendation was like 10, 20 minutes here and there up until like age 2, something like that. But yeah, then of course, as they get older, they can sit through whole movies and they can... literally sit there all day if they wanted to, or if they had the opportunity to. But so recently I did come across a few articles. I didn't find the exact one that I read as I just did my quick search, but I'll include these links in the show notes, of course. But the first title is Video Games Are Better for Kids Than TV, period.
Yeah.
So, you know, the subtitle is All Screen Time Is Not Created Equal, and sometimes it's downright beneficial. And I've been hearing this kind of theme as well, you know, from other sources. So they may be linking back to, you know, a similar set of research that's been going on in this area. But the high level notion is, yeah, that there's a difference between the skills and the benefit that somebody may get from playing a video game versus, you know, just passively taking in a cartoon.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that the cartoon may be devoid of anything useful, but on balance, I think what they're finding is there can be actually some benefits to mm-hmm. video games, for example. It does increase some types of reasoning skills and complex motor skills and things like that, which can be helpful. So, you know, it may not be like an evil to be stamped out, but something that can be part of, you know, the pie of,
yeah,
you know, occupying one's time. And then I think that the second bullet point from this type of research is it's also about the quality of engagement that somebody or a child may get with screen time with their parent, for example.
Yeah.
You know, if the parent's sitting by and they're actively playing the video game together, that can be wholly different from the kid playing in their room on their own and things like that.
Yeah, so I don't have enough of the same science articles to reference, but this is more of a general sense. One is actually related to grit, where I think video games, I remember this feeling growing up, and as I've read about the idea of grit and overcoming challenges and that, like, developing that internal skill, I remember video games being actually very helpful at that, of like, you fail until you succeed. Mm-hmm. And like, and it's like, it's each failure is only like 2 minutes long, but you like, you learn that you can, like, you get really, really quick feedback of how to make those tiny improvements. And so over Thanksgiving break, my oldest daughter was playing a video game where she had to complete a race, and like, it had a 1-star prize, 2-star prize, 3-star prize. It had different times, and she couldn't get that top time. And she spent like her time, plus she like made a deal with her younger sister to use her younger sister's time. But she eventually got there, and the excitement of achieving this thing that she had failed somewhere on the field 30 to 50 times, that was genuine. Right. And that was like that, like, and I've read other things about like practice and grit, where it's like that immediate feedback helps you get better. And so what usually I'm reading that related to sports, where it's easier to get better at skills where you can have immediate feedback from one thing to the next. You're hitting a ball, you're like, or making a golf swing, whereas other more complex things, especially when it goes to like adult and business, and like, is this marketing experiment working, like politics, or is this public policy working? Like, you can't get the feedback. Either it takes longer, or you don't know if I do this, then this. Whereas when you're younger and the skill is more defined, you can get that immediate feedback, and you start to actually see that iterative process. You understand that, okay, I tried something different and it was worse or it was better. And then you kind of like going down that path. And that's one of the things I tend to like about video games over other passive watching, is that feedback practice, that becoming comfortable with failure idea, that you're like, okay, it's okay that I failed this time. I can try again. There, like you said, the complex motor skills, some of the reasoning, I do tend to like those aspects. I remember having a conversation with the pediatrician a couple of years ago, as sibling rivalry like was starting to get louder and louder. And she was saying, sometimes just sitting, like going into the room and letting them figure it out is more helpful than you trying to get in the way and referee. Mm-hmm. So, something, I think there's a Mario World game that they're all playing together with the same objective, and they have to actually, like, they can't accomplish the level unless they actually all are working together. So, like, nice. It's one of those, like, the frustrating lessons as a parent. Like, I've talked about, like, I need my kid to fall down. I need them to fall off the bike so that they can get back up and try again. If they don't fall down, they don't get to get back up and try again.
Right.
And video games is just like a super micro version of that.
Yeah. Right. I think there's certainly a balance to be had here of, you know, more structured stream time or more focused. And then, you know, there probably is room for just unfocused, you know, just kind of vegging out screen time. That's, you know, junk food is there for a reason because it does taste good. But,
yeah,
you know, there's probably a time and place for both.
And then also, like you said, the doing it as a family with a parent.
Mm-hmm.
There's a like one show that we'll watch as a family was Gravity Falls. Now we're working on Amphibia. It's something that all five of us enjoy. They're not allowed to watch it without us, but it does feel different than when it's like each kid on iPad with headphones versus all of us in the living room watching the TV together.
Right.
And so like that does feel different. And in my mind, and I don't know if I'm like rationalizing for myself, I find that more acceptable than them watching an almost identical show by themselves.
Yeah, I think, you know, having those options as separate options creates just more things to do that aren't the same exact thing. Like you get your junk food at certain times and places, and you do get your more healthy food, which is also good, right?
Yeah.
At different times and places or more often. I think the other part of the equation is I think the games themselves are becoming more educational, right? That there is the ability to have games that actually do a good job at teaching things, like, you know, even reading and writing numbers and all of that. And then, of course, the apps these days, you can set up the phones and the tablets to say X amount of screen time, of, you know, all that. So I'm sure that the parental controls can also help with things like that.
Yes, it has been a double-edged sword of I have all these restrictions set up, and then there's always these other one-off scenarios where I have to like manually approve. Yes, you can use this one thing for 15 more minutes.
Right.
So it's definitely a double-edged sword of like while they're using it, if I'm working, like it works, but then there's enough time, like it requires more work for me. Well, like using both mental energy on a judgment scale and actual time energy of like, okay, here this is an acceptable time to go beyond the screen time limit for a finite amount of time. So, like something like that.
Yeah, it's certainly a comfortable go-to if an important call comes for you on the phone and you gotta quickly shift gears from whatever you're doing, but yeah, make sure the kids are not going to get into trouble.
The flip side of like the zombies watching iPads, like they are not going to burn down the house if my wife and I take the dog for a walk if they're on their iPads.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas we have taken the dog for a walk and they were not on their iPads, and we come back, we could smell burning hair in the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because one of them lit a candle and carried it to the house, and like, sister, this candle smells amazing. You should smell it.
Right.
I think, why are you playing with fire? Well, we're not here. It was just a candle. You let us light it all the time. While we're home. So, yes.
There's iPads, always a loophole.
Yeah, exactly. iPads mean the house doesn't get burned down.
Right, yeah. I mean, even yesterday, I went to the dentist, and I knew my daughter would be getting... She was home with us, and I knew she would be getting her standard iPad time, but... It was just me and her at the dentist, and I'm in a dentist chair.
I need you to stay in that chair because I can't move.
Yeah. But I didn't even have to say anything. You know, you just hand it over and then come back in an hour. Like, okay. The dentist was like, do you want to bring her into the room? And then I'm like, okay, you can. And then he went out to check on her. He's like, no, she's not moving. Like, of course she's not. She has her comfort device.
Okay, so trying to get back to like other things that you might do with a couple weeks off. So you mentioned the hiking. maybe playing video games with kids, but like I'm going to try and take them to the park and the field to practice. But what are some other things that you have in mind?
Yeah. So, you know, what I kind of laid out is our normal day off day, where we kind of know if we have a day off, this is how it's likely going to look. You know, morning activity, lunch, afternoon activity, dinner, sleep, right? Mm-hmm. And then there are just other days that add a little more deviation from that. So if we are planning something for a larger activity, for example, we have other things in our rotation. It's probably true in any town you live in, but you can get like annual passes to like the science center, the museum, and the zoo, right? Something like that. And that's on our back rotation. And yeah, those are activities where you can kind of pop in for like half a day and just kind of fill up some time. So those are certainly part of the, you know, maybe every third day or something like that on a couple week stretch that might kind of fit into the schedule. And then, you know, for things like that, I think they're already kind of paid for, right? You already pay for the passes and you kind of know what you're getting into, but you know that it'll occupy a good couple hours. So you kind of know what you're getting, which is great.
Yeah. I know one of the things that we do in the winter is we try and go ice skating. In San Mateo, they turn one of the softball fields into an outdoor ice rink for a month or two at the end of the year. They've been doing that for a few years now. So that's usually a fun thing that we'll try and do. We'll go ice skating. And again, it's like we only do it once a year. We'll go skiing and snowboarding pretty consistently, but the ice skating is like that special treat kind of thing. I think we're, depending on if it's hopefully not raining too much, we'll try and do a bike ride. I want to do a bike ride. I also want to go to the library because my kids have been asking for that for a while. And like trying to find time for the three of them to go. They have no problem picking out plenty of books at the library. And so I'm trying to decide, can I combine the bike ride with the library and, how well can the six-year-old ride there? Because it would require going around some streets with cars. So it might be doable, might not be worth it. We might just make them separate activities. Mm-hmm. But the bike ride, so when I think about the bike ride, it reminds me of like other things that my older two can do, but my youngest isn't there yet, or not quite as strong. And I have trouble remembering, could my older ones do it at the same age because there was just one less kid that I was teaching to do the thing? Or is he still on track with what they were at his current age, and he has to wait till he's old? It's like, and riding a bike has been one of those things where both girls ride really well, and he needs more practice, but we don't get as much time to practice just because taking the older ones to softball, or I think about this a lot. And so like that's one of the things I'm trying to try to spend time during this break of actually getting him on the bike and working on some of those skills. Like I think he's done a good job tying his shoe. He's in first grade now. I don't remember what I thought I taught the other ones in like around kindergarten. So it felt like he was behind, but he'd been making him practice enough. So there's little things like that that just all the kids need to know. And is he still at the same pace that his older siblings were at the same age, but they're now 5 and 3 years older?
Yeah, I can see how riding the bike is the big one. Did you have the balance bike as the first step, or did you go straight to the training wheels?
For the older one, we went with training wheels. Then someone gave us the balance bike as a gift. He worked pretty well at that. So it's having watched both, I still don't know if one is better than the other. Because like that idea of consistently pedaling to maintain your balance. The older ones had that because they had the training wheels, but it did take them a while to like get used to the balancing and the lean into the steer idea. Because training wheels kind of fight that, where as you turn, you almost feel like you're leaning out of it, which isn't how you ride a bike. So the balance bike helps teach that leaning into the steer idea. But the pedal, the training wheels help the consistent pedaling. And so I do think it's kind of, you need both at different times.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he can, so it's like, he can balance just fine. He just like forgets to pedal. And so it's like, what I'm working with, like, just gotta keep pedaling, keep pedaling, keep pedaling, keep pedaling, keep pedaling, keep pedaling. Like just constant nonstop reminders.
Right.
So, and if he tries to ride with his sisters, like they're much bigger, much stronger, and they are on bigger bikes, so they're going a lot faster, and he's having trouble keeping up with them. So, So riding bikes, playground, library. We got 3 days so far.
I guess a little too cold for the pool or the beach.
Definitely the beach. There might be some indoor heated pools somewhere, but yeah, that would not be on our list.
Okay. Yeah.
Try it. Yeah. And that's not normal. Like we do the pool in the summer at grandparents' house. We go to Lake Tahoe in the summer. So right. We get a kind of swimming that way, but no, we don't include swimming in the winter.
Mm-hmm. So I think if it's something where there is a couple weeks off, you know, we also might have something that we do like once on the weekend or once every 1 or 2 weeks. That might be, you know, like a bigger trip, like a weekend trip to like Kennedy Space Center or Orlando, you know, all the theme parks there. But we also try to like pick a theme park and get like an annual pass. So like this year, it's Legoland, and last year we were in PA. Actually, we didn't do one because COVID, but the year before that was like Hershey Park, right? And that's kind of good as well, because after like 2 or 3 visits, we've done like 4 or 5 already. It's kind of paid for, so we can just kind of head there, spend a good weekend at the theme park, and come back, and that'll, for an extended break, you know, have a good interlude for a good few days here and there.
Yeah, I know in the past we would go to what's called Curiosity. It's a small, it's not quite a zoo, it's more like an animal rescue for wild animals, but they'll have them on display, combined with a little bit of a science center. That's like a perfect age for toddlers and the younger kids, so like Maverick would be great for that, but the older two, it's a little too young for them. So we used to have annual passes to that. But yeah, not sure. We might go to either the San Francisco Zoo or the Oakland Zoo. That's a possibility. That's not a bad idea. That's a good idea. I think we probably would add that to one of those days.
Yeah, and then, you know, the other thing we kind of cycle through is we have a camping pass as well, and we use that a lot over the summer. But the good part in this time of year in Florida is it's also great for like outdoor camping in, you know, like December, January, February, because, you know, the temperatures do drop down to like the 60s in the evenings and nights. So it's quite perfect.
What is like the overnight low?
Well, I can check. Let's see.
What's your just guess?
My guess is, it depends on the week, but probably 70, something like that.
Really?
Yeah, so for this week, the low is between 67 and 73.
Okay, that's warmer than I thought.
Well, there's a big difference where you are in Florida. If you're more north, it'll be, it could be like freezing by now.
Okay.
And if you're more south, it'll be more temperate.
Okay. Yeah. We were in Southern California for Thanksgiving, and I growing up in San Diego, it pretty consistently got into the 50s in the evenings, mm-hmm. but the days could be in the 70s, pretty nice. In the Bay Area, it's getting into the 30s pretty consistently, like late night, early morning. So there've been enough times where I'm waking up, getting the kids ready for school, and it's 40 degrees, and I'm walking the dog. Mm-hmm. But we'll get up into the high 60s, maybe low 70s most afternoons. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. But, you know, my pitch for where we are right now is you could probably almost any day of the year have some time during the day where it's like 75 degrees.
Okay.
Meaning, you know, if it's the winter, it might be, you know, midday.
Yeah,
at its worst. But if it's in the summer, it might be midnight. But there will be some time where it feels comfortable to be outdoors. Is kind of my point in a 24-hour period.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, and you know, there probably will be a point in a given 24-hour period. It's another pitch here. So, so that it'll be not cloudy. I've kind of noticed that as well. It might rain a lot more in the rainier season, but even then, it'll rain, and then an hour later, it'll be sunny.
No, a lot of like starting from like Pacific Northwest, like coming down to about the Bay Area, like it's a gradual decline, but you'll have entire days that are just gray.
Yeah.
So it's worse up in Seattle, and almost non-existent in Southern California.
Yeah, I did notice that. You know, I grew up in the Northeast, and that was a big differentiator because you could be grayed out for a good week or even two, and
you're
like, okay, this is how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else that you think that you're going to try and get done before the end of the year?
Well, so, you know, those are the standard rotation things, but of course, there could be a big trip. What actually went through my mind is this might be the first time where we actually haven't planned a thing, you know? I think part of it is because we have just come off a stint of a bunch of vacations this year, which is coming off of the stint of not being able to travel. And, you know, a good part of that was kind of forced because we had all these vacations planned for like 2020. We had to cancel it. And all of a sudden we have all of these, you know, credits and stuff that we have to juggle. And then we had to finish them. I think we just finished the last one this summer. And now we're a little fatigued from that, but glad that we don't have any obligations to travel.
You must go on vacation.
Right. Lose the points for, you know, the airline or whatever. So I think we're looking forward to not planning anything major this time, which will be fine. You know, no big deal.
I think the last thing is my family has really been enjoying doing escape rooms. My older two, and actually they're genuinely helpful. Even the youngest is a net positive in the escape room. So these are. There's some in San Mateo. We can go into San Francisco. And we have really enjoyed those. Well, there's a really good chance we'll schedule one of those days. And it's like only an hour in the room, but it's like enough that like it fills up half a day's worth of time and activity and excitement.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Neat. Yeah. My wife and I used to do that a bunch before my daughter was born. And then we took a hiatus. So actually, I'm quite curious, how old do you think a child needs to be before they can be a net positive contributor?
Probably about 5 or 6, depending on personality. Sometimes it's just like, hold the flashlight while we're here, or bring this over to that side of the room. Enough where they can kind of follow instructions to stay out of the way for some things and hold on, like, hold on to things as they walk from one room to the next. So that's to say, it's about that age where, again, can they follow instructions and help out, or as opposed to just like sitting down and ending the way and having a tantrum, like kind of trying to like parent Andrew the escape room. Like, if I don't see him for 10 minutes, that's okay. Like, he's not going to hurt himself.
Right.
So, but yeah, we've been trying to do that with different friends and family as they come visit, or if we go visit them, we've been doing them in different cities.
Right.
So we've been having a lot of fun with those.
Cool. Good stuff, Aaron.
Yeah. This is a, there's some components of the conversation that I did not expect, but I feel like that's every conversation with you.
Yeah, sure enough. Here we are. We're almost near the end of the hour. Not that we planned this to be an hour, but I think we used to target maybe like 30, 40 minutes, but at some point, I don't know.
Yeah, it's we've been pretty surprisingly consistent with no actual planning or intent.
Right.
So. Well, I hope you enjoy your holidays. I hope you enjoy your time off. And this time next year, we'll review, like, did you actually do the things you said you're going to do?
Sure. We'll make a note.
We're not going to do it in January. We'll forget in January or February, but we'll have a similar conversation. Hey, what are we doing before the end of the year? Like, oh, what did we do last time?
Okay. So we can put a footnote back to this conversation and we'll get an update. That sounds like a good idea.
Something like year-end conversation. Make sure that you max out your 401k, check your open enrollment benefits, and go on a hike.
Yep. Get your Roth conversions done before the end of the year. You're starting a qualified plan for your small business, get that set up by December 31st. And do spend some quality time outdoors.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Trishul. It was a great talk today.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Happy New Year, because we'll see you on the flip side of 2022, which is 23. Bye, everyone.
Bye. We appreciate you joining us today for this episode of the Mind Money Spectrum podcast. Be sure to visit mindmoneyspectrum.com to access the entire library of episodes. Remember, it's not black and white, but the wide spectrum of gray area where you get to pursue the freedoms you want in life. Opinions voiced in this material are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance referenced is historical, as no guarantee of future results. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested in directly. Have a nice day.